And turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. And God spoke to me, explaining to me what it was that I had been looking for all these years. It was difficult for me to keep from becoming very emotional. I cried, and I just felt like God wants to do a great cleansing in our hearts. Amen. Chapter 2, 1 Corinthians. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Amen. You can be seated. Paul said to the church at Corinth, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That kind of determination is something that we all should get a hold of, no matter whether we're preachers, testifiers, janitors, streetwalkers, tongue talkers. Doesn't matter who we are, married, single, fat, skinny, ugly, pretty, children, adults. If we can get that kind of determination in our hearts, to look for those things that Paul was determined to see. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He wasn't wanting to see Jesus crucified. He'd already been crucified. He wanted to see in those things he looked at concerning the people and the church. He wanted to see the result of what had happened since Jesus was crucified. Because the result of Jesus and Jesus crucified ends up being the result that we're all reaching for in the church. When we get that established, there is no problem getting people to surrender to God in prayer. When we get that established, there is no problem with people being able to make the necessary adjustments to put God first in their life and everything they do. I mean, I could get up here and point my finger at people and say, you need to do this and you need to do that and you should try to do this better and that better. And we could talk about a lot of things. But when I would get through, it would end up with people saying, he really preached at us today, didn't he? You know, or we really needed that. Bless God, praise God. I'm glad our pastor not ashamed and afraid to tell it like it is. But that's not really going to always do that much good. But if I come to church determined to know Jesus Christ and Him crucified among you, and when I get here, if I see that among you. I don't have to preach all that hard. I don't have to preach all that much. I can enjoy the blessings of that which is spiritual among us. And our testimonies will be with something that's beyond what we ordinarily have. Oh, we testify good, and I enjoy every testimony. I enjoy the words that are spoken. I enjoy our songs, no matter how many times we sing them over and over. But those same songs will take on something extra above what we already have. Amen. What God wants to do is add to our faith more than what we presently enjoy. And we enjoy what we presently have. But He wants to give us abundantly more than what we enjoy. If you think you're being blessed, think of how much more you could be blessed. If somehow we could just have that knowledge of what that crucifixion was all about. Jesus and Him crucified. For who? For me, for you, for all of us. Taking away our sins. Healing our sicknesses. Taking away our problems in such a way that it doesn't matter what happens in this life. God has something better prepared for me beyond anything that I've ever thought on, beyond all my comprehension. There is something greater than I've ever found, even in my own church. We've never had a service like we could have if we would really come determined to see Jesus among you and Him crucified. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! We've never had preaching here like we could have if we all met together and just only had that determination. I came to see the result of what Jesus did at that cross. I came to see what will happen in a place where there's nothing in our minds except thank you, Jesus, for Calvary. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood that you shed. Thank you, Jesus, for making a way for me when I was a sinner deep in sin. Hallelujah! Determined. I am determined to look for that and to know that. To know that that's what it's all about. Hallelujah. Because that just has a way of straightening everything out. I know of churches where you can expect to get blasted when you enter into the church. Because there are eyes that are looking to see what's wrong with you. How you dress, how you act, how late you may be, or what you seemingly have on your mind, what you've been talking about on the phone, to see the result of how you're going to act after the conversations during the week, to see if you come to church with a grudge. All these judgmental spirits meet you at the door. You walk in, you don't meet with ushers, you meet with judgment. We haven't seen a lot of that here, but I've seen a lot of that in those places. Where when you walk in, you have to go through the judgment seat before you find your seat. Now, we kind of got past all of that here because it never did really get started here. It tried in the beginning, but it didn't make it. That spirit was crushed. Along with it, we lost most of the people we started with. And the few that they influenced that we tried to start with. There would have been a lot more people in our church had not we had to deal with some of those things 18 years ago, 17 years ago, and take a determined stand that I want to see Jesus Christ and Him crucified, the result of what that blood was all about. I want to see a church in Norwich, Connecticut that is here as a result of what Jesus did at Calvary. Where people come together to worship God with no murmuring, no gossiping, no complaining, no judgmental spirits. Not trying to find fault with one another, not looking at each other, trying to analyze what you're all about. Where people only search their own hearts and they look to God, the author and finisher of our personal faith. They look to God for themselves and let everybody else have their own freedom to do the same. Hallelujah. When we seek and are determined to seek for the knowledge of what has happened at Calvary and what that blood has done for us, when we seek for that and focus on that, anybody can come amongst us. Anybody can be here or not be here. They can be present or absent. The preacher can preach good or bad. The singers can mess up or sing good. It doesn't matter. Whatever happens, I'm going to be lifting my hands. I'm going to be praising my Lord. And I'm going to be finding a time to rejoice. And I'm going to look for opportunities to say amen. You're going to hear my voice shouting hallelujah to my God. I didn't come to hear a great song all polished. And I didn't come to hear some educated speech. I didn't come to hear some scholar who's deep in the Word. I came to see Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to find out what it is that Jesus did for me at Calvary. And to rejoice in the fellowship of those around me who came looking for the same thing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It wasn't just for Paul to look for this. It's for all of us. And when we find what we're looking for, we're going to realize over and over, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared. You know who prepares our services for us? If we allow Him to, God Himself. Amen. That's why so many times we come together and the preacher's getting ready to preach and all the testimonies are on the very subject he's going to preach on. It happens over and over. All the songs that we hear are the songs that contain the message that's going to be in the sermon that's about to be delivered. We don't compare notes. But the reason this happens, it's not just a coincidence. The reason it happens is because God is here preparing the way for us before we get here. Hallelujah. He's here. He's here preparing. I mean, even if we don't find the time that we should find to pray for a while and get a hold of God for a while, the very spirit of prayer that's in Jesus Christ that resulted in the old rugged cross and the crucifixion of our Lord, the prayer that was prayed during that time was for every one of you. And that prayer is ringing through the walls of the sanctuary before you ever get here. There has been a prayer meeting going on for your sake and for you to be able to be victorious. And before you get here, if you can just enter into that prayer of Jesus Christ that made it possible that you could have something good happen in your life, God will bless you if you'll be determined to see the result of Calvary. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That doesn't matter, preachers. And we want you to say excellent words. We'd like you to be able to get as deep as you can in the Word and learn all you can and get as much skillful knowledge of searching the Scriptures and rightly dividing the Word. It's good to do that. It's good to get some study tools and learn all you can. But don't let your study tools and your notes get in the way of your focus and determination to see what Jesus did at Calvary. There's no greater message you'll ever find in the Word of God than that message of the cross, what Jesus did at Calvary. If all the preaching that you ever preach and all the teachings you ever teach and all the testimonies you ever give and all the singing you ever sing is all only about the blood of Jesus and what Jesus did at the old rugged cross, if you never speak on another subject, you will have had a successful ministry. You will have been good as a testifier. Your singing will have been great because there is no greater message in the Word of God than what God did for us at Calvary. And you can't exhaust that message no matter how many times you talk about it, no matter how many times you sing about that old rugged cross and what happened there, no matter how many times you testify about the blood of Jesus and how it cleanses and how Jesus heals us, no matter how many times you preach it and preach it and preach it, and no matter how long and no matter how short, it should result in everybody saying, that is a wonderful message. It's beyond anything I ever thought of. It's beyond my comprehension. I could never get enough of looking to see what God did at Calvary. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You get down on your knees to pray and say, Jesus, I need your help right now. What he did at Calvary made it possible that you can have that help right now. Hallelujah. As it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things. Everybody say all things. What we need to do is live our lives in a way that the Spirit is not blocked out. Because if we start trying to reason it all out, if we try to depend upon our own understanding, if we try to see through our own knowledge and our own education and our own wisdom because of our background and where all we've been and what all we've experienced, and make some kind of sense out of how things are or maybe should be, we may miss the whole thing of what God is preparing for us. Hallelujah. I've been listening to some debates that took place years ago, and these public discussions were with moderators and with thousands of people listening in the audience, and it was between people who did not believe in the supernatural gifts of God and those who had received the Holy Ghost and been baptized in Jesus' name. And as you listen to these discussions, you can hear the difference, because those that don't believe in the supernatural works of God being available, they don't believe in healing today being available, they don't believe you can receive the Holy Ghost today, they don't believe any of these things are possible, that all ended 2,000 years ago. And all we have today is the Bible, and that's it. And we just read the Bible, and that's our salvation. And believe in God and read the Bible, and that's it. And that's their theology, and that's the way they see it, and they stand on that, and they talk. They all sound alike. They sound so carnal. And there's nothing that Robert Bayer, Marvin Hicks, or Gordon McGee, these men of great knowledge who were deep in theology and able to expound the Word of God and leave on no uncertain terms the knowledge that they have been with God and have been deep in the Word of God and they have experienced something with God. But no amount of their discussions or what they would say, no matter how much that they would preach it and be blessed of God as they delivered their messages to these people, no amount of trying to persuade them would cause them to bend or budge in their arguments. And when they would get up to say their part, all they had was criticism and mockery and doubt and an argument against the things of God. Hallelujah. And one thing they really didn't want was anybody in the audience to say amen. They didn't want any kind of demonstration. In fact, they would call people to order and they would threatened to have them carried out if they spoke in tongues. Because as far as they were concerned, that was of the devil. That's not of God. And anybody that claims to be healed or have been experienced in the healing work of God, if they happen to show up, which one of the debaters did, Brother Marvin Hicks showed up and his voice was almost gone. So the opponent got up and he said, Mr. Hicks, heal yourself. And the crowd bursted out in laughter because Brother Hicks had been saying, God is still a healer today. But today he said it, God's still a healer today. And the old man stood up and he said, heal yourself if God is a healer today. Yes. And I want to tell you something. No amount of debate, no amount of argument, no amount of knowing you're right, no amount of deep study, no amount of education. I don't care how many degrees you have or how many D's you have after your name. No amount of theology is going to get the Spirit to do its work. Hallelujah. The Spirit searches the things that are necessary. All things. Praise God. The Spirit, if you will open the door to that. How do you do that? It's just what that vision was all about. It's at a time of dying. It's a time of being in prayer, and you don't have time to pray. But you go ahead and take time to pray anyhow. You don't feel like praying, but you go ahead and pray anyhow. You don't feel like getting on your knees, but you get on your knees anyhow. You don't feel like spending any more time in the Word of God, but you read some more anyhow. Your old body is tired, but it's never too tired. You make it get under subjection to the things of God. And as you put your body under, the Spirit of God comes in like a flood, and He heals our diseases, and He gives us a new relationship with God, and takes us beyond and upward from where we've been. Hallelujah! Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. God has done all these wonderful things, but He has prepared these things for those that love Him. God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. If you're not a believer that God can do things by His Spirit, most likely the Spirit will not operate for you, because it takes believing and accepting it to be there. God operates according to faith. And He seems to pull away when there's doubt. He seems to stand outside the door and knock when there's a lack of faith. But thank God, He's made it possible, no matter where we are, no matter who we are, no matter how we are, if we will find ourselves within reach of the Word of God, there's a way that the Word of God going forth can pierce and break down those barriers and find an entrance for God to get through. Because all it takes is a moment of surrender. You can be sitting in the church, you may have arrived with a rebellious spirit that had a hold of you, some opinion or some thought that's driving you. You might have come here today with something on your mind that was bugging you. But the fact that you're here means, hey, before this is over, all that will be taken care of and resolved. Because this Word going forth has a way of just keeping before you the cross and what God has prepared for you if you really love Him. No matter what's on your mind, no matter what you've been through, no matter how you've been hurt, if you love Him, somehow in this message this morning, there's going to be something inside of you that's going to say, yes. And as soon as you say that, God is going to hear it, and He's going to take that as an invitation to come on in. Come on in and take that old rebellious spirit out. He's going to take your acknowledging, hey, I feel something right now. He's going to say, oh yes, you do, that's me. And anything that doesn't like it, you're out of here, because I love you and you love me. And I'm here because of Calvary. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The best thing you can do when you don't feel like going to church is go to church. When everything is trying to hinder you and stop it from happening, do it anyhow. What's so important about going to church? Well, it may not be all that important, except for the fact that if we can all get here determined to see Jesus Christ and Him crucified, even if that's not on your mind, if some of us have it on our minds and we're fully determined, there's going to be something that's going to happen before it's over. We don't have to wait for an evangelist to come in order to have a revival. It can happen every time we meet together. Hallelujah. Somebody can get revived. Somebody can get rekindled. Somebody can get renewed. Somebody can be refreshed. I love the refresh button on the computer. There are some times when you have to refresh. Things are there that you don't want to be there anymore. Little things, little icons, little things that are there that should not be there. They're not useful, they're not needed, but they're still there. There needs to be a refreshing. And that's just a machine. But how much more do we need to be refreshed? Sometimes they're just things that don't need to be here. We're carrying some things around with us that we should have gotten rid of a long time ago. But somehow they're still there. Like little leeches just going with us everywhere we go. tripping us up, bothering us, getting on our minds and causing us problems. There just needs to be a refreshing. I'll tell you how that can happen really easy. Come to church, get with the people of God with Jesus on your mind. With what happened at Calvary on your mind. Knowing that the blood He shed was shed for you. Hallelujah. He'll refresh you. He makes new creatures out of new creatures over and over again. You got born again. Johnny Wall said it like this. I thank God I've been born again, 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 again. Because so many times he said, I had to go back to that refreshing. He said, I had to go back to Bethel. I had to go back to my beginning and somehow start all over again. But when I came out of there, I was new again. Hallelujah. He said, I feel like I've been born again, 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 again. But no matter how many times you feel that way, it's new. It's fresh. It's a starting all over moment. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God has a way of taking care of things. If we're determined to know Jesus and Him crucified amongst us. Hallelujah. For we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. You can't be a spiritual discerner if you don't have the Spirit of God. Amen. You can't, you know, the Bible even talks about if there's somebody that's got a problem and you know that brother's at fault, and it talks about how to get things worked out, and it says, let him to the spiritual amongst you. You know, go to that one and do something. Try to help. Be something. And I know many times we talk about that and we say, well, Jesus is the only one that's spiritual amongst us. But really, is He? Praise God. Are we not the sons of God? Have we not been born again of the water and of the Spirit? Have we not been made the righteousness in Christ? Has He not made us all of one? Has He not brought us together as a temple of the Holy Ghost? Has He not put His presence within our lives and called us the holy blessings of God? Has He not given us the ability to lift up holy hands unto Him? Has He not put a praise in our heart and a song in our lips? Let him that is spiritual amongst you go to the one that is not spiritual. Not as a judge, but as one that's looking for Jesus and Him crucified. Offering help and mercy and love and everything that the love of God offers to all of us. And help in the time of need. Hallelujah! I know God is the supreme judge and He knows everything about me. But when He comes to me in my dark moments, in my nighttime, in my moments of despair, when I don't know what I'm going to do, when He comes to me, He doesn't come with a judgmental attitude against me. But He comes as a judge full of mercy, always ready and able to give me a new start and wipe the slate clean. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's there to do that for every one of us. And we all should take the example of Jesus Christ. Feed those that are hungry. We may not be able to feed the multitudes out here with natural food, but there are people amongst us who are hungry for what some of us have that others may desire that have never really truly experienced. And the only way they're going to experience is let those of us that are spiritual and spiritual minded come to church looking for Jesus with our minds on what Jesus can do through the old rugged cross, the result of the blood that was shed. Hallelujah. Because we're never going to fix anybody with our carnal understanding. We're not going to ever straighten anybody out with our natural look at things. Hallelujah. Our reasoning, no matter how much we testify, sing, and shout, will end up just like those debates. People go to those debates and they listen, and all they do is sharpen their thoughts on how they're going to defeat the next opponent. Basically, all they accomplish is knowing the arguments of the other side, so that when they meet them on the street, they can tell them after they prepared their arguments better how much they are more convinced than ever that we're right and you're wrong. That doesn't go anywhere. That doesn't solve any problem. Somebody on the internet this morning wrote a question, which is an unending subject if it's ever started on our internet program called the Good News Cafe. We've been through it over and over. It just goes in endless circles of debate and argument. It never ends. The question was, where can you give me proof that a little hair cutting on a lady is not all right? And my response, go to your local church and talk to your local pastor. And don't ask that question on the internet. Because all you're going to get is somebody's opinion, and somebody's going to come right behind them with an opposite opinion. And then they're going to be followed by another argument against their opinion. And next thing you know, me as a moderator, I have to go in there and start stopping the fights and the arguments, and everybody ends up with a bad spirit, and I have to ban a few of them. Nobody wins! Because if you don't know what to do with your hair, nobody else can tell you what to do with your hair. You're going to have to get that information in the Spirit of God in prayer. And the Spirit that knows all things and can search the heart, He will cause you to know what to do, and you won't be able to explain it to anybody else when you get through. But you will change some things, and it may not be hair, it may be something else. But when the Spirit of God gets through with you, you're going to come out of that with a smile, and you're going to be happy. There's no argument, and it doesn't matter what anybody thinks about it. God has placed some convictions in your heart. God has placed something in your heart that nobody can take away with any amount of scriptural proof. Devil even tried to use the scriptures on Jesus. And those scriptures he quoted were true scriptures. But it was the wrong spirit. Let me tell you who could preach the most eloquent message of any preacher you ever heard of. If the devil could get free tonight, but he's pretty tied up, I understand. But if the devil could get free and could come here and appear in this pulpit and open the Word of God, he could preach the truth like nobody you've ever known. I know he's a liar, but he's a liar that knows the truth. He knows the truth. And if he would hold his lying tongue back and speak the truth that he knows, if God would release him for just a moment to be an evangelist and come here and preach to you what he really knows, when he gets through and goes back to his chains and heads back south again, you will have heard the most eloquent, most knowledgeable sermon. You will have heard the one that knows just about as much as there is to know about God from beginning to end. Knows all the theology about the Godhead, how you need to be baptized, what it takes to be saved. You will have heard all the information that you'll ever be able to find in all the Bible colleges anywhere. The devil has all that information. But you need something better than information if you want to really make it and be successful in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah! You need the Spirit of the living God to come in, accompanying His own Word. And when you receive the Word, also receive the Spirit. The letter kills, but the Spirit makes alive. If you can get your mind in the Word of God and see that cross and what Jesus did, and open the door for the spiritual understanding to come into your life, then you will see in a different light than you've ever seen before. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Paul didn't go into these churches with a Bible in his hand saying, now let's see what the Word says about this every time. Sometimes he just came fresh out of jail. He didn't have time to go by the local bookstore and grab a Bible. But he had a message from God. And he had some things to say. And a lot of times these messages that we read from Paul the Apostle were written in dungeons. Were written on old pieces of parchment with no telling what kind of rock or piece of charcoal he used for writing these words that we enjoy in our Bibles today. Under adverse circumstances, suffering, in pain, in torment, being tortured, being brutally treated in prisons, he delivered the Word of God. That man had to overcome many things that were very awkward in order to obey God. But he did that because he was seeing something known as the blood of Jesus Christ and what Calvary is all about. They could stone him all they wanted to and leave him for dead, but there was something about that cross that caused him to get up again, and he kept preaching about that blood of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Which things we also speak not in words, which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. Which the Holy Ghost teaches. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you need it. So many people today try to teach each other about God, and they don't even have the Holy Ghost. Yeah, you can teach like the devil teaches. You can know a lot, but you don't know enough. The Bible only contains part of what there's a whole lot of. Everything you read, every verse you read has a whole lot more depth in it than what you see on the page. That's why you can dig a little deeper in the Word and you can get more fresh understanding as you consider the Word of God over and over. You never exhaust the Bible as you read it over and over and over. Every time you read the Word of God, something else will come to a person who's sincerely seeking after truth. You can read the same passages over and over and you get new nuggets of gold. You find new mines of treasures that are yet to be explored. You find something you never considered before. You know why? Because it's unending what Jesus is all about. The Word is only an outline of so much more that's available if you can get the author of the Word inside your life. If you yourself can become a written epistle that people can read. If you yourself can become a walking Bible that doesn't have to have chapter and verse. But everywhere you go, it's Jesus and Him crucified. Everything you do is Jesus and Him crucified. Everything you sing is Jesus and Him crucified. Everything you preach is Jesus and Him crucified. You may not do it with excellency of speech, but it'll be Jesus and Him crucified. May not be with enticing words of man's wisdom, but it'll be Jesus and Him crucified. You can read about the crucifixion. It doesn't take all that long to cover all that. It's just a few pages in the Bible. You can read it. Remember the Scriptures. Memorize it. You can just read it and get it really in your mind and have a good outline on it and know what happened exactly. Get it all just right. But have you really seen what happened after you've done that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's something going on right now in this church, in this place. It's called change. It's good change. It's not doing away with anything we know or anything we've got. But hey, we only get to live this life once. We only get to enjoy this victory that we've got one time while we're passing through. And God is trying to lead us to really be able to enjoy it more. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You don't have to settle for the same old, same old. Change is good. We can change the chairs, we can change the computers around, we can change all kinds of things. That's not the change I'm talking about. We will be doing some of that. Some of that, of course, will just normally happen. We do that because we like change. Some of us. The change I'm talking about is taking that which God has brought us to and saying, now where do we go from here? God, let this be my new beginning. Take everything that I've done up to this point and let that be things that are behind me. Now I'm looking forward to the mark. I'm pressing toward that mark. What's next? What would you have me do next? What have you provided at Calvary that I can consider? What have you done through your precious blood shed for me that would enhance me from this point forward? A lot of people only live in the past. I remember the good old days. Back when, you know how it used to be. Oh, man, we had some shouting services, didn't we? Remember that time when we ran those aisles and people fell on the floor speaking in tongues? Woo! Man. Recently, I had a lady come to us right here in this church building. She's not here today, but she came here. And she came wanting to talk to me. She said, you know, ever since I've been going to this church, I have never seen anybody filled with the Holy Ghost. And she herself didn't have it, but she said, I have never seen anybody filled with the Holy Ghost. I said, have you never seen the members here that testify? They're all filled with the Holy Ghost. She said, but I mean, I haven't seen that when it happens. I said, well, why don't you be the next one it happens to? Same lady came here years ago. She's advanced a long ways from since then. She says, Jennifer was conducting the preliminaries of the service. She came to me after church. She said, I thought the Bible taught against women usurping authority. And she said, doesn't the Bible tell us that ladies should keep their mouths shut in church? I said, well, if you think that, why are you talking? Aren't you a lady? There's some understanding that comes in the Spirit of God, and no amount of explaining can fix it in the minds of somebody that does not have the Spirit of God. Nothing I can say will change anything. Only maybe enlighten a little bit, but it's still not enough. If we never see another soul filled with the Holy Ghost, and if we spend the rest of our years with just us, as long as we can come together looking for Jesus Christ and Him crucified and seek to know nothing more amongst us, I will go out rejoicing and happy that I've been with God and I've been with you. Hallelujah. I don't have to see anybody else get the Holy Ghost for me to stay encouraged and built up in my faith in God. I don't have to see another church member added to this church for me to know we're in a victorious army of the Lord marching forward. I don't have to see another miracle or another healing. I know what God has done for me. But these things, the growth and all the things that happen to cause the church to grow, will come automatically. If we come together, each time we meet together, determined, let's all stand together. Praise His name. If we come determined to focus on what Jesus did for us, all of us, at Calvary. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jonathan Edwards, history records, in the 1700s, preached a sermon to thousands of people using an old lantern for light or whatever they had. It was not electricity. Had no microphones. He was not an eloquent speaker. He didn't know a whole lot about speech. But he was a man that prayed something like 8 hours a day. And I don't care who you are, if you get down on your knees and call on God that much every day, something's going to happen. I don't care what your theology is or what denomination you're part of. If you're that dedicated to prayer and surrender to God and you're fasting and praying and meeting with God several hours a day, 8 hours a day, that man sought after God, sought after God, sought after God. And in that audience of thousands of people, Jonathan Edwards read a sermon. Read a sermon about sinners going to hell. He read the sermon to them. And in that audience, history records, there was such a move of God. People saw themselves dangling over the fires of hell as Jonathan Edwards was reading these words after praying and seeking after God and praying. I don't know how much truth he had or didn't have, but I'm going to tell you, when you pray and you seek after God and then you try to do something for God, God gets in it. And thousands of people, history said, fell on their faces and cried out to God. And they were from all walks of life. They didn't care what anybody thought. They didn't want to go to hell. They didn't want to burn forever. His message was about sinners in the hands of an angry God. And they were so convinced by that non-eloquent reading of a sermon that their souls needed to be changed and they needed to seek after God. They wailed and they cried and they screamed out for mercy. And that happened in the 1700s. Here we are in the 21st century. We come to church. Preacher gets up to preach. Several people have to run to the bathroom that have already been there four or five times. They never go that much to the bathroom when they're at home. What is it? They're not praying. They're not spiritual. And they don't care. They're just here because they have to be in some cases. Amen. People look around. They find this to look at, that to look at, this to consider. And they don't have any mind about how people are looking at us through the cameras. Yeah, I thought you didn't want us to be conscious of cameras, Brother Ralph. I want you to be conscious of souls out there. They don't need to see your unconcerned attitude. They don't need to see you walking around not thinking about anything going on here. You got your mind on what you're going to do tomorrow. They don't need to see your carnality before church when you're not praying. You're just meeting together and talking about how the things have been. They don't need to see you walking in here after church starts. They need to see you on your knees praying before church starts. I'm not saying that to blast anybody. I'm just saying us, all of us, we're not what we can be. Don't get to feeling condemned over this message, but feel challenged to meet this need of seeing the cross and what Jesus did for us and for all others who are looking on. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter how much I preach, there's going to be people talking while I preach, passing notes, reading things, doing things. There's always going to be people that are not listening, not hearing, not caring. But somebody is going to get focused on this. And that somebody is going to be the fire that's going to light this revival. That's going to take this city and win thousands around the world to the cause of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And I'm going to preach it if everybody else stays in the bathroom. Hallelujah. Preaching if everybody else comes to church reading comic books. Just all come around the front. But I know there's something better for us. There's something better for all of us. Beyond what we know. Beyond what we know. You know what it's going to take to get new pews in this church and a new church building to put them in? People that we presently have with us. Praying and seeking after God and going to church with Jesus and Calvary on your mind. That's all. Visitation won't really do that much good unless we've got this other taken care of. Television ministry won't really do that much good. Oh yeah, they'll say we saw you on TV. And we do have a good program. People are talking about it. People are impressed by it. Is that all we're there for? To impress them? Hollywood can do much better than we can. Oh, I like your singing, they say. Well, is that all we're there for, them to like us singing? Is that our reason for being there for them? Just about everybody that entertains in the world can sing better than any of us. We can't compete with the world. We're not here with excellency of singing or excellency of being able to preach the Word of God with speech. We're not here to offer a beautiful, polished, educated platform for everybody to consider. We're not here to entertain. But if just a few of us, that's what Jesus is talking about when he said, two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am with them. And you can get it together and say to your brother and sister, let's three get together in Jesus' name. That's not what he's talking about. Together in his name is together with His backing and authority and His Word in you that has caused you to come together with the knowledge. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks or does. We are going to touch and agree that this is our focus. This is our determination. We are here to get a hold of God. More can be accomplished in a prayer meeting of two people getting together before church than an entire congregation coming in and looking around and praying because they're supposed to. I can't make anybody pray, and if you did, because I make you, it's not going to do you an ounce of good, so stay home till we get through praying. But if anybody wants to pray, starting next Sunday, I was going to announce it later, but I'll announce it now. Starting next Sunday. Everybody say, starting next Sunday. Every service that starts at 6 o'clock, for instance, on Sunday evening, has been moved forward. It's now 6:30. But the scheduled time to be here is still 6 o'clock. If you don't care about God and this church enough to come here and pray before you get to church, don't bother to show up at 6:30. I want to go after some people who want to know God and want to serve God and want to hear the Word of God and want to get focused on the things of God. And I don't need them to stumble over your dead corpse that won't be revived. Hallelujah. And every service that starts at 7:30. Praise God. It's still scheduled for us to be here at 7:30, but at 7:45 the service begins. At 7:30 the prayer begins, or before. And if you don't want to come and pray, and if you're going to only come because I'm telling you to come, wait till 7:45, or better yet, don't even come. Because there's somebody that's going to come through here that doesn't need to see your carnal spirit. Now if none of you show up, I'm going to preach anyhow. I've got an internet audience. And I'm going to increase the internet website presence. And I'm going to get enough money to pay the rent. But we're going to have a church in Connecticut that is looking to the cross. Looking to Jesus. And all carnality is going to be exploited and exposed and sent to hell. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you can try to dump me if you want to. You'll only end up dumping yourself. But I'm going to do what God sent me here to do. Who are you talking to, Brother Rudge? All of us. I get mad. You sound like you're mad. No, wait a minute. You need to be restored. Jesus was crucified for us. Hallelujah. Those devils lie. They tell you, he's saying that toward you. No, I'm not. I'm saying that toward us. God is not pleased with our church. We are not spiritual. Sorry, that's the way it is. We're not spiritual. Most pastors resign at a time like this and move somewhere else. That's not the answer. This pastor is going to stay put, and we're going to move into a spiritual realm. Want to know why things are not going good for you and your family or you and your friends? Because you're not spiritual. They that are spiritual grab a hold of the horns of the altar and they pray. It's not just praying driving down the road or just praying when you go to work or just praying when you're doing that. There comes a time when you have to drop everything and it's just you and God. That's where the deep things of God come to us and change us and mold us and make us. We become broken before God. We get down and we say, oh God, I'm a sinner. Oh, I didn't think we should say I'm a sinner. You are a sinner if you're not praying like you ought to pray. The lack of prayer is sin. Hallelujah. I could preach on this. It'd take another hour or two and I won't. But a prayerless life, and I'm not talking about the ordinary way that we pray always without ceasing. Yes, we do pray in our mind. Thank you, Jesus. It's always communication. But a prayerless life that doesn't have some time where we seek after God and become broken before God will end up in carnality, will end up in destruction for your soul and your family. God wants some time alone with us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're not spiritual. That don't mean you're backslidden on your way to hell. It just means, hey, let's get spiritual. You can have the Spirit and still not be spiritual. You have the Spirit of God, got the Holy Ghost, got baptized in Jesus' name. You love the Word of God. You love the truth. You come to church and act carnal. Who? The ones that do. Praise God. If you're offended by this message, I'm talking to you. Thank you, Jesus. If you're seeing a challenge and you want to do better by this message, I'm talking to you. If you want to grow a little higher in God, I'm talking to you. If you're a skeptic out there watching us on the internet or listening to us, I'm talking through you and past you. Because there's somebody just on the other side of your blockage that says, I need to hear this. I want in on this. People are contacting us from New Zealand, from all parts of Europe, all the uttermost parts of the earth saying, I'm learning from you. I'm hearing what you people are saying. It's coming through to me and our family. Isn't it amazing we can get through to them and they receive God and they go to churches and they establish themselves and they hear people preaching. They go to the altars and God gives them the Holy Ghost in other countries and we come to church and do the same old thing over and over. Show up late. Go home early if we can. Hope the preacher don't preach too long. Keep us standing too long. Hallelujah. 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 If I were sitting in an audience today and a preacher's preaching like I was preaching, you know what I want to do? I just want to pray. I just want to say, God, help me. God, help me. God, help me. God, help me. What do you have on your mind? You want to pray or do you want to just hurry up and get through so you can go do what you got to do? What would 5 minutes, 5 more minutes of consecrated, devoted prayer hurt? What would 5 minutes of focusing on Calvary and what Jesus did do to your schedule for the rest of the day? What would it hurt? What would 5 minutes, I'll tell you what it might do, it might give you an eternity in heaven. God is going to spit out the lukewarm. He would rather you be hot, and that means saved, or cold, and that means damned. But if you're in between, He's going to spew you out, and that means damned. So if you're just taking it as it is and just enjoying it because you're part of it, get ready to be spewed out. God is looking for somebody that hears the Word and becomes a doer of the Word and not a hearer only. God is looking for somebody who wants to lift up those heads and say, so be it, God. Help me, I want to be your child. I'm tired of this rat race and these circles I've been running in. I'm tired of this frustration I've been going through. I'm tired of not knowing why me being a child of God cannot enjoy the blessings that your Word says are prepared for me. Your answer was in this message today. You want that victory that's promised to you in the Word of God? Get on your knees and pray and call on God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Seek God first and His righteousness and all these things to be added to you. That doesn't mean just get to church on time. That means pray and seek after God first and foremost above everything else you do in your life and your schedule. You got to do it. You got to do it. You got to do it. Hallelujah. Why don't you find a place to get on your knees? Let's break the routine. Let's go somewhere and kneel down and pray a while. Hallelujah. Let's don't just have a little closing prayer after church. How about spending 5 minutes just really praying? And if you children do anything to interrupt this prayer, I'm going to set you down in a corner and make you shut up and be still till we get through. So if you're not going to pray, you better get you a seat now and sit still because I'm going to be watching you. There are some parents here that need to pray through. And there's some children here that need to pray through. And there's some people here that are single that need to pray through. And there's some children here that need to start showing respect for the church. If you you don't want to be saved, don't stop us from wanting to be saved. You kids, either pray or go get yourself a seat. Everybody else, if you would, find a place to either kneel down or sit and pray for a moment. Hallelujah! Our kids are learning it's okay to go to church and eat candy and throw wrappers in the floor and read and pass notes and bump each other and fight each other and wrestle in church and not pay attention to the preacher. Why don't we teach them that it's important to sit still and give some honor to where honor's due and respect where respect is due? And that prayer is important enough that everybody else needs to shut up and be quiet. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Pray. Pray. Pray to who? Me? No, don't pray to me. I'm nobody. I need to pray too. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Get past the point of where you're praying because I told you to. Past that point now. Find it in your heart, your feeling of a need to do this. Find it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Find it. Somebody could receive the Holy Ghost. We got children praying right now who do not have the Holy Ghost. They want to be involved in the work of God. Praise God. They can receive the Holy Ghost right now. People have been known to receive the Holy Ghost on Sunday morning. We got grown-ups that are praying right now who want to know God in the power of the Holy Ghost. There's no reason for them to keep coming to church service after service and not enjoy the blessings of the Holy Ghost that some of us testify that we've got. Why can't they have it too? Hallelujah. All we need is a little more prayer. A little more prayer! A little more prayer! A little more prayer! Repent to God and then get your victory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's hard to preach in the 21st century. It's hard to build a congregation in the 21st century. It's hard to get people interested in the seriousness of the hour that we live in the 21st century. Because we have all this education around us. All these ideas around us. Hallelujah. Suggesting to us that we don't have to pay attention. We don't have to listen to authority. We don't have to have anybody tell us what to do. How about get your mind on the cross and on Jesus? Forget about what age it is that we live in. Pray. 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 Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Go out and visit around and the gifts of the Spirit operate in people in the churches. It's in the Bible. It's in the Word of God. You see people speaking in tongues, people interpreting, people saying, oh, hallelujah, tears streaming down their eyes. And we come back to Norwich and we make excuses. Well, we want it to be real. Well, we do want it to be real, but we need to see something that's real once in a while. People do still speak in tongues. Interpretations do still come forth. People do get slain in the Spirit and they come forth just not knowing what they're doing, laughing to an extreme under the anointing and power of the Holy Ghost, falling in the floor and crying tears into the carpet. Those churches are not phony that do that. They're not hypocrites. The ones that criticize them are. The ones that make excuses because we don't have to do it that way. We're the hypocrites. I'm determined to know nothing among you. I don't want to know what you think about it. I don't know what you're going to do about it. I don't care. I don't want to know anything but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And if that's going to be known among you, we're going to see the result of it in this church. Hallelujah. I don't want to know anything else. I want to know why you're down, why you're blue, why you're discouraged, why you're unhappy, why you can't like it in Norwich and you want to look somewhere else but you don't want to go because you like our church too much. Hey, if you get to loving God enough, you'll love the people of Norwich enough to go after them in the name of the Lord and look for an opportunity to win them to God. These people are just as in need of your love as anybody in any city on the face of the earth. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus. Praise God. I determined to know nothing. Jesus, Jesus. God bless our people. Bless our church. Bless bless everybody to understand. We're not getting on to anybody. We're seeking, Lord, for a breakthrough into that which has become a wall to keep you from going further than you want to go. We're seeking, Lord, for an avenue where people can be enlightened to know that there's so much more available to us than what we've got. Thank you for what we've got, Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for moving in our services. Thank you for the fact that we do lift our hands and we do know that the presence of God is with us. But God, we repent. I repent to you. Oh, Jesus, that we have not gone as far as you have made it available for us to go. We have not reached as high as you have given us an opportunity to reach. And Lord, in the eyes of my own thinking, I'm a failure. But in the Word of God, I see success coming because that which is spiritual is here with us. And Lord, we look to you. We're looking for an opportunity to get past our mortality in such a way that we can tell this mortal to be still in the presence of the Lord and let God move in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.